谢谢。
若冰，我也干了。我也干。哈利路亚。
So we pray that the Lord will be with our children, even as they move to the children's class. We pray that the Lord will teach them, the Lord will guide them, the Lord will protect them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I really love the song. Can we play it again?
Oh, precious is the flame that brings me one.
Can we sing along, please?
Oh, no other, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Oh, precious, that makes me white as snow, white as the blood of Jesus, amazing love. How can it be that I, my Lord, should die for me? Amazing love. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my Lord, should die for me? One more time. Amazing love, amazing love, how can it be? It be that thou, my Lord, should die for me.
You know, I think it's very important to always put these things in perspective. We are not doing them as a cliche, you know. Sometimes you set yourself in rituals that are without understanding. But what we are doing is we are echoing the very foundations of our faith. Amen. We are echoing the very foundations of our faith. And these things are what should guide us. As a believer, the love of the Lord should be what would persuade you in your life. Amen. Everything you do must be guided and bound by the fact that Jesus died for you. So in your dealings with one person, in your dealings with another person, at the back of your mind, you have there that someone died a painful death for you. A death that he was not supposed to die, but he died for you. Amen. It's very important for us to understand this. And that even brings us to today's sermon. Father, we bless you for the opportunity to sit at your feet, to be gathered as a family, to share your word. Let your name be glorified, even as we share your word. Let our character, let our faith, let our understanding be built in Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're happy to be in the house of the Lord, just give a mighty wave offering. Give a mighty wave offering. Give a mighty wave offering. If you can't wait for lunchtime, also give a wave offering. Hallelujah. Amen. There is nothing more amazing than going to have lunch after church, and the lunch is so satisfying, and after that you go home and have a wonderful nap. Back home in Ghana, we have something we call Sunday special. The Sunday special is when you have good meals for lunch, and after that you go and have a very good nap. I don't know why the Sunday naps are so special. But today we are going to be talking about decisions and consequences. Decisions and consequences. Every decision has a consequence. It could be positive or it could be negative. Decisions are our abilities to make choices, to decide what we want to do. Decisions, they express our soul. So the soul of a person is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Amen. So you need to understand that every human being, according to the book of Thessalonians, is made up of three things. You are first a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you are contained in the body. And your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And this faculty of your soul, which is also referred to your intellect, governs your decision making. Mimbai lama. Powerful, powerful. We bless God. So it's very important to understand that as a human being, decisions are part and parcel of our life. And our decisions come with consequences. Remember, we started a series on the Fantastic Five. How many of you have watched this movie before? Fantastic Four. How many of you have watched that movie? Fantastic Four. It's a very nice movie. I think my favorite character in the movie is the rock guy. Because he's bulky and smash. Hulk smash. I like that guy. So I like the Fantastic Five because the Fantastic Five is a character study on some selected Bible characters. And I remember we started off with Uzzah. How many of you remember Uzzah? Uzzah was the guy that went and touched the Ark of the Covenant when it was falling down and he was struck by the Lord. And we learned a lot from that. And today we are moving on to, in retrospect, deal with Judas Iscariot and Simon of Cyrene. How many of you know Judas? How many of you would want to name your kids Judas? I like Sue Brown. Sue Brown is like, no. But it's actually a common name. I've met three people who are called Judas in Ghana. One of them was my senior in high school. One of them was my mate in university. And they are amazing. Amen. They are very amazing. The names we give people carry a lot of weight. So we are going to look at these two in the light of this theme. The theme is decisions and consequences. Amen. We can go to the next slide. And our key scripture is coming from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Can we all read together? If you can read it, it's up there. But if you can open it in your Bible, whichever way, you can read it. So 1, 2, 3, go. So we need to understand that this is God speaking, and He is calling on heaven and earth to literally be a witness to our decision, the decision of the Israelites, with reference to their choices. And He's saying that your decisions are going to influence the lives of your offspring. Your decisions are either going to manifest a blessing or a curse. There is nothing like eating your cake and having it later. Whatever decision you take today has a consequence. And this is even God speaking to us in this life, that He has set everything in our disposal. One thing we need to understand is God is not treating us like robots. God is not treating us like robots. We are not wired and programmed into submission outside free will. The first thing I want you to understand is this. Our tomorrow is made of the decision of today. Amen. Our tomorrow is made by the decision of today. If you are sitting beside someone you can talk to, just tell the person, your tomorrow is your decision today. Tell the person to decide. If you can talk to the person, tell the person, your tomorrow is your decisions today. You know, I have written a lot of exams. And some of these exams have not really gone well.
There was one exam I wrote in the university. It was called Psychostats.
It's called the Statistical Statements of Psychology, where we put the brain's arithmetic into math.
And for the first time, I sat in an exam room and I was crying
because I didn't know anything.
I didn't know what to write. You can see the questions, but you don't remember anything from the class. And I was like, oh my word. Then I remembered. I remembered those times when I was in class and they were teaching, and instead of me to pay attention, I was playing the foolery and running around, I was skipping classes and all that. So literally, the build up onto that day was the action of my yesterday. Majority of the time, we rise up with consequences in our today, not because of what has happened to us today, but because of the decisions we took yesterday.
Can I see my meat lovers? How many of you like some good steak?
Yeah.
You like your beef, your chicken,
you know what I'm talking about. You marinate it overnight. Yeah, I found a very good recipe for preparing chicken stew over the week,
where you literally soak the chicken in hot water with a pinch of salt before you dress the chicken,
and then you marinate it after that overnight. Mm. And the chicken, forgive me, I'm talking about chicken. Yeah, but it's very important to understand that even what you eat literally influences your tomorrow. It's very, very important. Your decisions of today are not void of consequences, and the consequences can either be good or bad. I want you to understand that.
And the second thing I want you to understand is this.
Like I said, there are good and bad consequences. The third thing, God has given us our free will.
We have a free will. We have a free will. God does not put a gun onto your head and say that you better read your Bible today, otherwise you are gone.
God, he's not literally standing there
and saying that if you don't read your Bible today, you are not going out. We need to understand that the epitome of love is free will. If you really love someone, what you give the person is the ability to choose. There was one day I was having a talk with a group of women.
There's an organization in China which is called the National Union of Ghana Students.
And they gathered all the women in various cities. So there were women from Weifang, women from Changsha, women, and it was online, over 300 women. And what we did was we had a talk session. They invited me to talk to them because they wanted to know the kind of men you should never marry. So that was the title of the talk, Five Types of Men You Should Never Marry. And when I started speaking, and out of nowhere, it was an only female conference. There was not supposed to be any female in there. Out of nowhere, this guy jumps into the call. It was a Zoom meeting. He jumps into the call and says, yes, there is a lady here called Priscilla. Tell Priscilla I love her so much, and I'm not going to allow her to reject me. And I'm like, hey, do you realize this is supposed to be an all-female conference? And said, yes, I hijacked this to let Priscilla know that I love her so much, and if she doesn't love me, I will not permit her to love anybody else. So after the meeting, I spoke to Priscilla, and I'm like, Priscilla, you know that guy is crazy, right? So you need to understand that the epitome of your love is your ability to allow people to make choices. You don't impose your choices on people. No matter how much you love them, you respect their choices. You guide them, you pray for them, you lead them, but to a large extent, you guide their choices, especially in the light of their maturity. And that is what Jesus Christ and God teaches us. The essence of even to the point that our salvation is not forceful. Our salvation is not forceful. There's this little comedy that I watched that a man went preaching the gospel. He preaches the gospel so much, and the first person he approaches is like, I don't have time. He goes to the second person, and the person is like, I don't have time. Then at the third person, he's like, today you will have time for me. Then he pulls out of his bag an AK-47. You don't have an AK-47. And he's like, raise your hand, accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior. But that is not the way it is. The essence of our free will is given for the sake of showing true love. True love chooses the right things irrespective of the circumstances. Whether God is not there, whether you are there alone, whether you are in the room with nobody watching you, whether you are outside with people, are you going to choose Christ? That is most important. Are you going to choose Christ in the midst of every decision? If you see the money on the floor, there's 1,000 RMB on the floor, nobody's watching you, are you going to be like, no, this is not mine, I'm going to take it and give it to the policeman? Or you're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer? You need to understand that the essence of free will is to guide us in our maturity of love. Amen. And I also want you to understand is that the Holy Spirit is given to us as our guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The reason why the Holy Spirit was given to us is because the Lord knows that we would have a difficult time living on our own after He leaves. So He said, I am going, but another of my kind is coming, the Allos Parakletos. And when He comes, He shall comfort you and lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit leads you into the right decision. The Holy Spirit leads. Sometimes when you are praying about a business idea, listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you're thinking of traveling to another country, listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you just want to strike that deal. You just want to go out. Your friends are calling you, hey bro, let's go out and chill. But something is just telling you, not tonight. Listen to the Holy Spirit. How many of you heard of what happened in Lebanon? About the bombing, right? And how many of you heard of the story of the pastor and the orphanage? Good. So there's a pastor and an orphanage in that city where the bomb happened. So 2 weeks to the bombing, the pastor for no reason starts getting promptings. Dismiss everybody in the school. Dismiss everybody in the school. Dismiss everybody in the school. 2 weeks to the time. This has been recorded by the news. He has been interviewed by CNN. Fox, he has been interviewed by some other news agents, and so actually on YouTube, you can go watch it. He has a prompting that's saying that dismiss the whole orphanage and leave the city. So after 1 week of that pressing, he calls a meeting and says, okay, we are closing for the next 1 month. And now his workers are coming to him, including other pastors, and they're like, you are really the head of this institution, but you are doing it wrong. We need to sit down and talk. This is not the right way. We need, and he's like, no. So after he dismisses everybody, 1 week later, there's this huge explosion that results in over 150 people being dead and more than that number being displaced. And now people start calling him. Why did he take that decision? And he just said, the Holy Spirit prompted me. The Holy Spirit prompted me. Your decision should not be void of the Holy Spirit's guidance. In Romans chapter 8, we understand that for as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the children of God. Let your heart desire be to take a decision that will be led by the Holy Spirit. And He's more than ready to lead you. It could be with it, and trust me, people say there are some things that are too shallow for you to ask the Holy Spirit. One thing I say is, anything that causes you to worry is worth praying about. Anything that causes you to worry is worth... How many of you are on this with me? Anything that causes you to worry is worth praying about. How many of you think it's a good thing? Yeah, because sometimes I had this lady friend, her hair was too short. And she would always say, I don't know why God gave me long hair and it breaks. Anytime my bath is breaking. And I'm like, have you bothered praying about it? It's like, but this is not significant. It's my hair. So we pray together. I anoint her. She goes. And the next prayer meeting, she comes and she's like, I have a good feeling about this. So I forget about it. And about some months later, she comes and she's like, I don't know if Peru remember this, but then she speaks, and she says, surprisingly, her hair has never grown to that length at which it was.
And I'm like, God pays attention to anything that worries you. Is it your kids? Pray about them. Is it about your feeding? Pray about it. Is it about your work? Is it about your shadow? Pray about it. Before you take any decision, pray about it. Amen. Put your hand on your chest and say, I will pray about that decision. Powerful. We bless God. And I also want you to understand this, that our decisions don't affect only us. Our decisions affect everybody connected to us. It's very important. Your decisions don't affect only you, but everybody connected to you. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. So, we are going to do the character study of these two people. The one on our left is Judas Iscariot. He has a very mean face. I don't know why I chose that picture. But he has a very mean face, and you see him holding the coin back. He's like he's telling me, I'll take your money. And we also have Simon of Cyrene. Simon of Cyrene. We are going to delve deeper into these studies, but these are two different characters. One takes a decision. They both help Jesus onto the cross. But one's decision is in a negative way, and another decision is in a positive way. One decision results in a negative occurrence. Another results in a positive occurrence. We are going to delve deeper. Let's go first to Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. Guy Judas. So I'm going to read from John chapter 13, 26 to 27. John 13, 26 to 27. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." So the whole story is that in the midst of all the people that Jesus chose as his disciples, one of them was going to betray him. Many people believe that it was predestined, it's all that, but I, to the large extent, all I know is that he took the decision to betray Jesus. He took the decision to betray Jesus. And this brings me to a very important thing. Let's be very careful with reference to the preachers, the teachers we listen to. Not everybody who says, "I'm a preacher," is preaching things of the Lord. Are you with me? We are in very dangerous times. Be very, very careful the kind of preachers you listen to. Not every preacher is preaching things of the Lord. Some preachers are destroying families. Some preachers are just out to gain wealth. Some preachers are doing so many things that are not in line with Scripture. And it is our responsibility to tell you so that you know. Amen. But I thank God so much for the life of the preachers in XICF. I really thank God so much. So, who was Judas Iscariot? He was an Israelite. And we could see from the text that his father was called Simon Iscariot. So we could literally say he was one of them. He knew the traditions, he knew what was expected in times and prophecies. He knew a bit more than the usual human being would, because he was from that group. Amen. And also, he was one of the 12 disciples. He was one of those who don't know Judas Iscariot. He was one of the 12 disciples. He was literally with the Father through the time of picking Jesus. And there's the thing. Jesus actually prayed all night, descended from the time of prayer, and still picked Judas. Sometimes don't be too hard on yourself. Turn to someone sitting beside the other person. Don't be too hard on yourself. When you make a mistake, then you act as though the whole world has come to an end. And you know, sometimes you say, "But Jesus chose Judas. Did he know it?" Of course he knew it. He's all knowing. But the understanding of us being perfect in that sense is good in terms of the spiritual understanding. But when it comes to our physicalities, we are prone to mistakes. So when you make a mistake, do not be so hard on yourself. Sometimes the first point of forgiveness is forgiving yourself.
Forgive yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Amen. Good. Let me run.
Then, he was in charge of the money. I remember there was this time when this wonderful woman rushes onto Jesus and pours out oil from her alabaster box and then begins to anoint the feet of Jesus. And our homie, Judas, he's like, yo, man, you could have saved this money for the kids. You know, we could have done something better with it. And then the Bible reports that he didn't really care about the kids.
All he was interested in was the money. Because even John 12 records that
he was taking money out of the purse. It's very, very important. And I want to say this. Character is key.
Wherever you find yourself, be of good character.
Whether nobody is watching you or people are watching you, have a good character. Have a good character for the sake of Christ. Make sure that you yourself have confidence in what you are doing.
Amen. So the Bible says that he was in charge of the money and he was literally pilfering from the money box.
Now let's go to the what. What did he do?
One, he betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver.
The ideology behind it is not clearly functioned.
It's not clearly featured in scripture. But what it said is, it was influenced by the devil. We should know that our decisions are influenced by good or bad forces. So we need to make sure we surround ourselves with good influence. Some of the worst influences we are getting now is music.
You listen to a song and I will shoot you, I will kill you, I will stop. Then you are walking in town, you are going to work in the bus, and all you are hearing in your head is, I will shoot you, I will kill you.
So if someone steps on your toe, the first thing you tell the person is what?
I will shoot you.
And it's a reality.
There was this guy who loved wrestling. He loved wrestling. So at the least opportunity he got, he would want to try out the wrestling skills. What you avail yourself to influences your decision.
Be very mindful of what you expose your mind to. And especially, I want to paint this picture for our single brothers and sisters. Be very mindful of your interpretation of love and romance and all that. I spoke to a lady and she said, if my boyfriend does not propose to me in France, it's not real love. And I'm like, yeah? Really? The idea of movies should stay in movies. Don't let it be transcended in the reality of your mind. You are watching these Korean series, Boys to Flowers, is that what they call it? Flowers to Boys, there's one like that. And your whole mind is full of drama. He didn't tell me I love you this morning. Why did she go without even giving me a kiss on my... Understand that some of these things you are watching will influence you. But don't let them influence you in a negative way. Don't get me wrong, you can learn from them. But let your prime influence of your decision be the Holy Spirit and the standard of the Bible. Amen. So let's continue.
He regretted it and wanted to return the money. After he had done that atrocity, he regretted it and wanted to return the money.
So he actually went, and the account of the Bible, one of the gospels says that he threw the money to the priest, and literally he went out and committed suicide. And they took the money and bought a field with it where they buried strangers. So they called that field the field of blood. And he said he committed suicide. One account says he went and hanged himself. Another account says that he bought a field with the money, and he was walking on the field, tripped over a stone, and he fell down and his head burst into two with everything in it gushing out. Amen. We need to understand that whatever we do will yield a consequence. whether it is in secret or it's in the open, it will yield a consequence. Now let's go to how and why it matters to us. Procrastination is not good. So we can learn the positive from Judas Iscariot. Procrastination is not good. When Jesus was speaking to him in John chapter 13, 26, 27, he says, what you are going to do, do it quickly. Sometimes we say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Whatever mission, whatever ministry, whatever idea you have, if you are going to do it, it's important to start now. Start now. Even the bad things are starting immediately. How much more the good things? Don't procrastinate. Oh, tomorrow, I'll do it next year. I'll do it next 2 years. No. So the first point we can learn from Jesus' Spirit is do not procrastinate. The second thing you need to learn is let's be cautious of the devil's influence. And I made mention of the media. Be careful of the media. Be careful of the songs you listen to. Be careful of your friends. Not every suggestion from your friends is supposed to be taken. Be very careful of your friends. Be very careful of your friends. Be very careful of your friends. Then, forgiveness is possible. How many of you realize that among the disciples, two of them were recorded to have betraying Jesus? Judas Iscariot, and who else? Peter. What happened, and why did Peter not commit suicide? We need to understand this, that no matter how far you go, there is always room for forgiveness. You don't need to kill yourself. You don't need to be so bad. You don't need to burn bridges. No, 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 no. Know that there is always a way to return. Let's go to the next slide. Now we are going to Simon of Cyrene. And it says, from Mark chapter 15, 20 to 22. It says, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled, let's take note of this word, they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. So we need to understand that there is this young man coming in from the countryside. He has children, meaning he's very responsible. He hears people shouting, crucify him, crucify him. He gets there. He's at the right place at the right time. And guess what happens? The Roman seaman is like, you, come. Come and help him with the cross. Jesus was so tired. He was falling, and yet they called Simon of Cyrene to come and help Jesus with the cross. Amen. Now, let's get to the who. He was a Judean Jew, meaning he understood traditions. He knew what was going on when they said someone is being crucified. He knew what it meant for someone to get to the point of being crucified. He was an African from Eastern Libya. How many of you know Libya? Yeah, maybe Gaddafi. How many of you know Gaddafi? Yeah, maybe to ring a bell. Mr. Brown, how many of you know Gaddafi? So it's very important to know that he was an African. That is why the picture in there is purported as black. The historian, Michael Griffith, that wrote about him, purported that he is black. Because the Eastern Africans were referred to as Berbers. And Berbers were people of color, people of dark skin. Then his name means to listen. The meaning of his name means to listen. To listen. Why is this important? Many of us, sometimes we are compelled by the Holy Spirit to do something, but we never do it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is telling you, spend time praying for your father. Spend time praying for your mother.
pray into the week. For no reason, you wake up at dawn and you sense a need to pray. And you're like, let me just go and pee and get back to bed. You think it's just by coincidence that you wake up for the past 4 days, you've been waking up every 3 a.m. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to pray about what is coming. So even as the Holy Spirit compels you, out of your free will, you need to listen. Now, let's go to what? He carried the cross of Jesus. You need to know that you can't do everything on your own. Learn how to ask for help. When you ask for help, it doesn't make you less of a Christian. I repeat, when you ask for help, it doesn't make you less of a Christian. You are going through a tough time. You can approach any, you can approach the elders, you can approach the leaders of the church and say, hey, brother, I need prayer. It doesn't mean you are a bad Christian. When you ask for help, it actually means you are humble. One sign of humility is prayer. And prayer is telling God, I cannot do it on my own. I need you. So you need to understand that asking for help is not wrong. Your Christian life seems to be going on a downturn. Ask for help. Hey man, can you bear me up in prayer? Hey, can we come and talk for a minute? I just need someone to just prayer me up in the Lord. Don't die in your corner alone and be like, nobody cares about me. No. People are more than ready to help. So, he carried the cross of Jesus. Two, he was compelled to. Now the question is, what is the Holy Spirit compelling you to do? Is the Holy Spirit compelling you to start a small group in your home? But you are thinking of how people like me, if you invite me, will come and eat your bread. Is the Holy Spirit compelling you to pick up a leadership position in the church? Will you listen? The question is, will you listen? Good. There is no other mention of him in the Bible again after that time. There is no other mention. Sometimes the Lord presents you with one opportunity to make impact. Don't let that opportunity pass you by. Sometimes it's just one opportunity. Don't let that opportunity pass you by. Whatsoever you find yourself doing now, do it with all your strength, all your might. Amen. Now, how? Of what importance is it to us? How can we apply what we learned from his life? Obedience is important. What the Lord is telling you to do, do it. Obedience is important. What the Lord is telling you to do, do it. Now let's go to the second point. Your disadvantage does not matter. You don't need anybody to tell you that in those times, the blacks were literally, majority of them were in bondage, were in slavery. As at that time, they were regarded as the lower class. But guess who was called to help Christ to the cross? Sometimes we feel like we are not there enough to help. They call you, hey, can you help with ushering? And what you are thinking about is your sin that you committed last week. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of people are not serving and are not giving their best in life is their assessment of themselves. Trust me, there is nobody like you. All over the world, you are the only one who can do what only you can do. The kind of blessing, the kind of mindset in you is unique for only you. The blessing that the Lord has given you, the kind of understanding, the potential that you have, you are the only one that can do what you can do. Your uniqueness is your blessing. Don't look down on yourself. Don't let anybody tell you what you are not. Amen. Understand that your disadvantage might be your greatest strength.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says that in Christ, when we are weak, that is when we become more strong. Amen. So we need to understand that aspect, that your disadvantage does not matter to the Lord. And the third point, be available. Are you available? Are you available when the Lord is calling you? When the Holy Spirit is compelling you? Are you available? There was this night, I just woke up. In the middle of the night, I just woke up. And there was one thing in my mind. Pray for pregnant women. At that time, I was very single. I didn't even have a mind to get married. But then the Holy Spirit just said, pray for pregnant women. I started praying. I was praying. And the key to know that you have walked into a place of an answered prayer is not based on what you see, but what is impressed on your heart. Sometimes you are praying and you just know that the Lord has taken care of it. Because according to Philippians chapter 4, it says that, and the Lord will give you peace. The essence of peace will come upon you. So you need to understand this aspect of things. That when the Lord calls you to pray, be afraid of yourself and pray. When the Lord calls you to do something, be available to pray. Be available to serve. Be available to help. And when you are available in obedience, do it. I've shared this before and I'm going to share it again. In 2016, around 2 a.m. China time, from nowhere, I felt a very sharp slap on my bum. My bum was like, what? And I just woke up and I just knew I had to pray. I didn't know what I had to pray about, but I started praying, and all I knew was I was praying for my well, then my girlfriend, we were not married yet. I was praying for her, and the next day, she calls me and is like, darling, I was attacked by ambulance car, and I'm like, really? And I asked her, what time? And she said, 6 p.m. 6 p.m. in Ghana is 2 a.m. in China. The exact same time. Sometimes you have to work, and for no reason, the Lord has laid on your heart. Pray for yourself. Do not procrastinate, because your obedience might be the reason why you will be alive. Amen. Now let's go to the next slide. Jesus Christ, our perfect example. Can we read it together? Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. When you are done, just raise your right hand. Good. I see one person done. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Great. Amen. So here we see Jesus Christ also taking a decision and the consequence of that decision. What we need to understand is Judas Iscariot and Simon of Cyrene took decisions, and the consequences of their decision, one resulted in him committing suicide and the other resulted in him being mentioned in a good way in the Bible. You need to know that your decision will always come with consequences. Your decision would always come with consequences. Make sure you take the right decision in that life. Jesus Christ was equal with God, but he didn't take it wrongly when the heavens required of him to come and die for you and I. And he left all that. He came and died a very shameful death. The recordings in the Old Testament says that such a death is like a curse, because you are crucified naked. The highest point of a curse. That's why the Bible says he was made a curse for you and I. But guess what happened? After
after his obedience, after his ability to take the right decision, he says that he was given a name above every name. That at the mention of that name, Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. There is a reward for your right decision, not only for you, but your offspring. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. So what does this mean for us? The first point, there is an expectation of us from heaven. Every decision that you have to make, there is an expectation of heaven for you. Even deciding whether to go back to your country, or even deciding to swap to a new job, or to start a new, heaven has an expectation you need to inquire. Inquire of the Lord before you take a decision. Inquire of the Lord before you take a decision. Amen. Then the second point. God, our Father, has given us the free will to take a decision. We are not being compelled, but let's have in mind. We are not being forced, but let's have in mind. We are not being dragged, but let's have in mind. There will be judgment. There will be accountability for every decision. It doesn't matter whether somebody is there or nobody is there. You will account for your very decisions. Amen. Then the third point. We should be mindful of the schemes of the devil. The devil is working. He worked then and he's working now. Just like God, the devil cannot force you. He will only influence you. Avoid temptation. The Bible says, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. It is not God's desire for you to be tempted. It is out of our own selfish desires that we are tempted. Prayer will prevent you from being tempted. Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. The Holy Spirit and the Bible is our guide. What does this do? The Holy Spirit and the Bible, they shape your motive. They shape your desire. Your desire to move in the right direction. And you need to be consistent. It saddens me, majority of the time, when a lot of believers, the only time we read the Bible is on Sundays. It saddens me so much when, as believers, the only time we spend time praying is when we come to church. You've never had Bible study with your family. You've never prayed with your family. I encourage you to do so. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, will shape your motive, will shape your decision, your intellect, your will, and will guide you to make the right decision. Then the last part, there is a reward or a punishment for your decision. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. And you want to request for grace. Wherever you are, you can just place your right hand on your chest and say, Father, grant me grace. Grant me grace to take the best of decisions. Grant me grace to take decisions in line with you. Father, lead me. Lead me to take the best of decisions. Concerning my family, concerning my children, concerning my life, concerning my business, concerning everything, Lord. I acknowledge that I cannot make it on my own. Father, help me. Help me, O God. Help me, O God. Now, the greatest decision you can ever make is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is a wonderful time to do it. You can just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I believe that you came to die and resurrected for my sake. Today, I open my heart to you. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Take total control over my life. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. We bless God. I pray for you that this week will be an amazing week for you. May the Lord grant you good news. May the Lord favor you on every aspect of your journey. May the Lord cause things to work for you even as you go through this week.
and may goodness, mercies, and favor follow you all the days of your life. In Jesus' mighty name have we closed. We have closed XICF. God bless you.
Bye-bye.